couple of weeks ago, he and I first preached out of the third chapter. I thought that would be it. But the Lord began to touch my heart on the fourth chapter of Philippians. So last week I started talking about standing fast in times like these. I believe that is what Paul was warning the church at Philippi to do. The times they were living were difficult times, but Paul says twice in this little letter, stand fast. Then we notice it in chapter 4, I'll read there again. Paul says in beginning in verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, thy crown of joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, through your fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and another of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I'm going to stop there for just in her reading, because I want to focus on what the Lord has put in my heart. When Paul wrote his final letter to young Timothy, one of the things he said is that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The idea behind that word perilous was that they would be difficult and hard times to live in. And I believe the reason Paul goes on to say is that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul said the last days of time they're going to be perilous because of evil, because of wickedness, because of ungodliness. But it was interesting that Paul said something similar to Timothy that he said to the church at Philippi. Back in 2 Timothy 4, he actually said that they'll wax worse and worse. Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and been assured of. In other words, Paul was saying, Timothy, as days grow darker, times get more difficult, you need to remain. You need to stand fast. That is what we're dealing with. Standing fast in times like these. Last Sunday, we looked at the first three verses, talked about our stand in times like these. Did you remember? I basically talked about two things. About our standing in our faith. Paul had said, stand fast in the Lord. And then I talked about our stand in fellowship. How he talked about these two ladies that they ought to send right those things again. But this morning, I'm really going to look at something about our spirit in times like these. Our spirit. About our inward. Our inward attitude. I'll be honest with you. I have learned over the years how easy it is for my attitude just to get all messed up. I'll be honest that I at times have a bad attitude. You may even ask, preacher, after all these years of pastoring and preaching, are you saying you have problems with attitude? If you'd only follow me for one day, that'd be all it would take. You'd find somewhere that my attitude would get sideways. I would even say, you could ask my wife, but don't ask her. Please don't ask her. She can tell you plenty of times that my attitudes are all right. But Paul is giving us some guidelines to help our attitudes and our spirit. First of all, there is the rejoicing that we must maintain. Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Tell I be the first to admit, because of circumstances, it is God is easy to rejoice sometimes than other times. I'll be honest, at times because of things I'm dealing with, rejoicing can be a little difficult. So I don't know about you, but I'm interested in how I can do what Paul says. Because in reality, Paul is giving a command. Paul is saying, I've got some good ideas. I've got a little advice I will share. But Paul issues a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. That word rejoice means be glad. As a matter of fact, it means exceedingly glad. Now I remind you where Paul is. Paul is not sitting around some hot springs in Rome, sipping on a latte from old Starbucks. Paul's in prison. Paul's in chains. Paul is bound. Paul has no freedom right now. I read somebody said, never forget that Paul delivered his command to rejoice whatever the circumstances when he was unsure whether he would live or die. Paul didn't know what tomorrow's going to bring for him. But he writes, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. So what is Paul saying? Paul is not saying, excuse me. Paul is not saying, I rejoice because of where I am. Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord. Paul is saying, I can rejoice God based on my situation. And I rejoice based on who He is and what He's doing in my life and in my heart all times. Paul said I can rejoice in Him wherever I'm at, in whatever I'm facing. It is interesting that we find the word always. Some Bible translations, and I'm not going to argue all that, but some put the word always. I realize that over time, they basically became interchangeable. But I believe there's a reason that the King James interpreters put the word always. That word always is interesting. That word always means at all times and perpetually. It means perpetually be praising the Lord. Perpetually rejoice in the Lord. I think about often I thought this morning crossed my mind of Psalm 119 in verse 62. Where the psalmist said, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteousness. The psalmist said, when it's so dark, when it seems so dismal, I'll rise and give thanks. I don't know if it amazes you or not, but I have watched over months and years things, and Jeremy even touched on it. I've watched that things suffer through cancers and treatments. I've watched them live and battle disappointments and sickness. But I found a common theme through it all. I mean, not just the individual, but their families. Preacher, what was the common theme? God's still good. God is still good. While ago, Molly shook my hand, tears running down her face, fighting cancer for some 6 years. Shook my hand and said, God's still good. God is still good. Preacher, what is that text? Rising up at midnight and saying, I'll give thanks unto the Lord. I've had children and death in their family. I had Chris and Henry before Henry passed away to say the same words. God's good. God's good. God's blessed me. That is what Paul is saying. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even when you're bound. Even when you're broken. Even when life hurts. Even when times like this are hard. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord because of what He's done in salvation, because of what He's doing in grace, because of what He's preparing in heaven. Praise Him in your heart, in your life. Can I tell you something else? Rejoicing is contagious. I hear somebody praise the Lord and it does something in my heart. I see somebody wave their hand and praise His name and I want to put mine up. I hear somebody shout and say, glory to God. Something in my heart burns that I want to holler glory along with them. There's something about joy that is contagious. We find ourselves rejoicing. There'll be somebody else who rejoice along with you. Thank God there's always John Gill, the great expositor, said there's always cause and matter for rejoicing in Christ. Even in times of affliction, distress, and persecution, said since He is always the same, His grace is always sufficient. And His blood is continual cleansing. Thank God that's cause to rejoice even in times like these. So there is the rejoicing we must maintain. But then also there's the reason we must remember. Paul said in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word moderation speaks of forbearance, speaks of restraint, speaks of being gracious, speaks of being patient with other people. I'll be honest with you this morning. People can get under your skin, can't they? I know some people that know just how to push all the wrong buttons in my life. They know what to say, and man, it gets under my skin. Paul is saying, even so, let your moderation, your gracious spirit, your patient attitude, let it be known unto all men. Can I tell you one reason why we ought to guard our attitude? For one thing, because others are watching us. Paul said it may be known unto all men. That takes me back to Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in jail. There it stops. They've been beaten. But in the jail cell, they begin to sing praises unto God. Then was there that little phrase, and the prisoners heard them. Bible says when the Lord shook the jail and the stocks fell off, the jailer comes to kill himself thinking they were all gone. Paul said, don't do yourself any harm, we're all here. Why didn't everybody else get out and run? Because they had heard Paul and Silas sing, and God dealt with their hearts. I'm trying to tell you and I that there are people watching our lives every day. Our attitudes our attitudes at work, our attitudes at the store, our attitudes wherever we go, people are watching us. Paul said, let a gracious attitude be known unto all men. But then he gives us a second reason. He said, the Lord's at hand. That might mean a couple of things. It could be Paul is saying, though you don't see him with your physical eye, the Lord's always standing close by, watching, seeing all that that happens and transpires. Paul could be saying the Lord is close by like that. But it could also mean that the coming of the Lord is near. So keep your life where it ought to be with Him. I read one commentator that even said that Paul could be telling them, you don't know how close your time of leaving this world could be. Paul may have been saying, you don't know when the Lord is going to call your name to go home. So Paul said, you need to be standing fast in times like these. I don't know about you, these aren't easy days. These aren't easy times. We love her. From our world and what we see taking place around our world. From what's happening in our nation. Things going on in our neighborhoods and communities. These are trying times. Paul says we need to stand fast. Those things you know and believe, hold them tightly. I really believe if Jesus doesn't come very, very soon and quickly, I believe if time continues yet for a little while, things are going to get even harder. Pressure is going to get greater on the people of God. We need to stand fast. I'm going to stop right there. That's only 2 points out of a 4-point message. I don't know if I'll get it done the next time. God has so worked this in my heart. It has caused me to pray, God, help me to stand fast. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's around the corner. But God, I want to stand fast in these days for you. Rejoicing in the Lord in my heart. Being gracious, patient in my attitudes. Hey, God, honor you. Brother David, would you give us a song? That's the message of my heart. I can honestly tell you that just like Jeremy said earlier in the lesson, every time I stand in the pulpit, I'm not preaching something just to mark another Sunday service off the list. I've spent time through the week praying, saying, God, what do you want me to tell St. John Baptist Church? Then when I stand before you, I've given you my heart. And I have today. Folk, in times like this, we need to stand fast. Stand fast. Let's stand. And let's say there's a need in your heart.
Take one.